Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The Sean McClure and Taylor Jackson of Skylinel, and they're next.
And now, from the legendary Studio B, so you're in Seattle with Gregor.
The recent boom in vinyl record sales has been fantastic for the industry. Not just for the making money part of it, but because you can actually have to get off your butt and go put a physical piece of music on. That's kind of contradictory, physical piece of music, but having to set a needle onto a piece of vinyl provides some sort of, like, connection to the music. It only plays one side and you gotta flip it over again. It gets you more involved. It's just not at your fingertips streaming. Well, take that now, this boom, this surprise increase in excitement over vinyl. And it spawns a bunch of other different ideas, behaviors, in this case, artwork. Sean McClure and Taylor Jackson are just two of the guys involved with Skylinel, their company taking Skylines originally and cutting them into vinyl records. It's grown to be so much more than that, including a huge Kickstarter campaign. This is very exciting stuff happening from a studio looking with a view of Seattle from Queen Anne. Now, I wonder if it's the Kerry Park view. That would explain where the Skyline idea came from. There's more to it than that. And this fun talk that we had. You're a performer, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
You play a band or something? Or?
Yep, I play drums for a couple bands and just been working on like solo stuff.
That's awesome, man. So you get some familiarity with some headphones and a microphone. And,
yeah.
And we're rolling, by the way. We're just going for this now.
That's great. Awesome.
Might as well just jump right into it. I'm excited because, wait, I lost my sheet and everything. The dudes from Skylinel are here, and that's a combination of Skylines and vinyl. I figured that out on my own without your guys' help.
You got it.
Sean McClure and Taylor Jackson. Dudes, this is really sweet. You brought in this Seattle Supersonics cut from a piece of vinyl. What did you use for the actual music here? Do you even pay attention to that?
I do. So it's either
the colors.
Yeah, it's either the correspondence with the color or the band. So I usually try to do one of the two.
The Sonics one is in the classic Seattle green and yellow that you would have for the Sonics logo. It is beautiful. What it is it's I'll let you guys describe it. Tell us what you're doing here.
Sure. So we take old recycled unplayable scratched records, and we carve different designs into them.
Yeah, I mean, it's that simple.
It's a pretty simple idea, but innovative and
artistic, expressive.
Yeah.
It's a good way to utilize a material that would otherwise be wasted, you know?
Yeah.
Vinyl is so awesome. It's like such a great sound, and when it's ruined, when it's warped, like, you can't do anything with it, like, literally.
That's the danger of ordering cool vinyl off the internet and stuff like that. It shows up with a giant scratch, and I'm like, well, no wonder it was $9. Yeah. Like, you
comes
jerk.
With digital download.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How come they don't do that with books, or do they now? Like, whenever I buy a book, why can't I get a digital download? So if I'm, like, on a plane or something, I don't have to bring it with me. I can just put it on my phone or whatever.
I think it's because a digital download, you can give it to someone else, and with music, you would have to, like,
You could give it to somebody else.
Forward them the files?
Forward them the files, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm going to have to... My next interview will be with a publishing company to figure out what the hell is going on there. Yeah. So this is cool. You guys, I know specifically that you started with Skylines that you're doing onto records, and so it leaves probably 50, 60% of the record there, but you have the beautiful Seattle skyline. We have an end logo that you made for us in the other room, which is super cool. Where does this start from? What's like the... Like, I'm going to cut something out of a record. Where does that come from?
That whole story began almost 4 years ago when I was going to, I was in Sydney, Australia.
Cool.
On vacation. And I ended up with this crate of records that were warped and just basically ruined. I had them outside. I was looking through a few of them on a picnic table. And I went inside for a little bit. And during that stretch of time, the temperature got to like the highest it's ever been in Sydney's history.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was
probably in
very
Celsius.
Unpleasant. Yeah. It was very bad. It was like 114 Celsius or something, or no, 46, which this translates. That's unsurvivable.
That's crazy. Okay, and so you just ruined a bunch of records.
Yeah, so I went back outside and they're just like melting all over the place, and I was like experience. What am I gonna do, like what am I gonna do with these? And I could have just like thrown them away, but I was like, I can do something.
Do you just have like your Crocodile Dundee knife with you?
You're
like, let's cut into this thing.
Right. I wish I had one. I ended up taking a blowtorch that one of the girls in the house I was living at, she was a pastry chef.
Yeah.
So she had a creme brulee torch, and I was
that could have gone like a bunch of different ways.
Right.
Like,
I had a hot knife.
Yeah.
Like, okay, go on.
So I ended up just blowtorching like a kitchen butter knife and then just like using that to cut away the skyline for Sydney.
Oh, cool. Like a knife through butter. Right. Just that vinyl.
Basically, yeah. So I ended up taking that back home with me after my trip, and one of my friends saw it and was like, dude, I'll pay you to make one of Seattle. And I was like, you will? Like, all right, I'll do that. And so I made him one, and he came back, and he loved it so much, he was like, I want 10 more.
Wow.
And then I was like...
And it all began right then.
Okay.
So how do you two know each other then? Taylor, how do you know Sean?
I met Sean a year and a half ago. We were working together at a little spot in Ballard called The Annex, like an oyster bar.
We're
both barmen. And
I think we had our Christmas party there 1 year. You guys probably like were like had to like deal with a bunch of drunken radio employees and be like, ugh.
I remember you guys, that girl. You left that passed out girl in the bathroom.
Of course.
Yeah.
Which one?
So, we worked together over there, and I've been going to school for an arts degree as well, and just wrapping that stuff up. And Sean had been kind of slanging his art out of the bar for, like, the whole time I worked there. And when I first saw it, I was like, what is that? What are you doing? And he was like, well, I make this artwork, and I sell it to people, and then I get them drunk, and they give me good tips.
I'm like, hey, pick up your art at the bar.
Come hang out.
Oh, yeah.
Bring him in.
Double
He's a smart guy, you know? And so I really like what he was doing. You know, I've only been in Seattle 3 years, but I love it out here. I'm a big, like...
Where'd you come from?
Where did I come from? Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Whoa, yeah. Okay, so...
Ski town. I was an instructor out there for a couple of
winters. Is that where
you're
winters. From?
No, I'm from all over. England, Arizona, California. I've lived all over the
where
place.
Where in Arizona?
Scottsdale.
Okay. Yeah. I lived in Tucson for a decade.
Yeah.
So whenever I hear Arizona, I'm like, let's talk.
Yeah. My brother went to U of A. So.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, I know Tucson pretty well.
As long as he didn't go to ASU.
Yeah.
That's
no,
the worst.
Dad went to ASU. House divided.
Tell your father he's the worst.
He's a demon.
No offense to you, but your dad's the worst. Sean, how about yourself? Are you from around here?
I grew up in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Yeah. All right.
So I've been here for like 10 years now.
Yeah, it's all right, cool. All right, so from some Southwest experience, I'd love to hear about that. I'm from New Mexico originally,
cool.
Got
the Four Corners.
So you guys just like, I mean, at some point, it's like you're like MC Hammer selling tapes out of your trunk. You decide that you're actually going to like put something, a business together? How's it work?
Yeah,
exactly right. Me and Sean, basically, I was just like, I think what you're doing is super awesome. I think it's really cool. And like, I had been attending this like entrepreneurial program, and I was like, we should make a business out of this, right? And he's like, I already have a business. I was like, but now I need to start paying taxes and stuff. So we put together all of these like plans about how we're going to distribute stuff and what it was going to be. And so now we're working on putting all the pieces together with like manufacturing, distribution, shipping, packaging, all these things, so that it's super smooth and people can just be like, oh, click, order, and then it's good to go.
Well, yeah, because I can only imagine you have a record here and you're heating up a knife to cut through it at some point. I'm sure you made your process a little bit easier. You tried different materials or something.
Right. Well, and yeah, over the years, I've definitely refined it. And
what do you do now? Like, what's the process for making one of these records?
So what I did for yours there, is just an all X-Acto knife. There's no moving machine parts or anything.
I guess when I like look in close, I'll post a picture of this and stuff so people can see it. But like when I look closely at it, it's like it's not precise. It's very like hand cut here.
Yeah, yeah, which is good that you can separate the two. The hand cut ones obviously take a lot more time.
Absolutely.
An effort to put into it, but I mean...
That was a real reason why we decided to move up in this direction to scale the business, is because Sean's probably made like 20 Kurt Cobains, 15 Jimi Hendrix, you know, 10 Jim Morrisons, and it's like after a while he's making the same one over and over and over again. It's like an artist making the same painting over and over again.
Starry Night over and over.
Not fun anymore, you know? It's like you can get prints made of it and people...
I want to do...
And there's also
stuff.
Two different markets. Like people, like on the Kickstarter that we just wrapped up, people were able to order like a commission piece of art from him, and that's obviously a higher price point because it takes some hours of work and labor. Or they can order one of the set designs that he's already created, one of the templates that he's made based on these hand cut pieces, and they can have it for a much lower price, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it was like totally reasonable too. Like I saw like the jumping in point, like $30, and you know, it was like a
it's like $40 for an unframed one, and like $79 for a framed one. Like
when people were backing it, I don't know, I made up that number, I guess, but it was pretty like nice. So you're just doing X-Acto knives on this. Do you still have to heat the knife up, or are you just cutting straight through it, hoping it does? I imagine records are brittle.
Right. So I don't heat the knife anymore. It's just usually on a hot plate.
Oh, yeah.
And then you just raise the temperature just enough to be able to cut through it. And
it like turns the record rubbery. It's like cool. You could like floppy it, right? And when you see it, it'll like stick. He's got the perfect temperature thing down where it's just like he can hold it at a certain temperature without it getting all melted.
I recently made a polygon mask, and it was a lot of cutting through like cardstock and stuff, and those X-Acto blades, they have like a little bit of metal grip on there.
Yeah.
And I found myself like bleeding at some point, not from cutting myself. Like what are the risks involved? How often are you like hurting yourself doing this?
Not that often. You know, it's funny, the last time I said that, I was at my office like station cutting a record. I was like, I'm amazed that I had never cut myself like before. And then exactly the next thing that happened is I just slid it underneath my fingernail.
Next week I'm going to tag you in a photo of his like finger hanging off. Please, Gregor. Karma.
No, please don't ever do that. That sounds terrible.
That's honestly why we're moving towards this, so that he doesn't have to do them all by hand anymore. I mean, how many records have you cut, Sean?
Somewhere around like 3,000.
3,000 records.
What's the investment time-wise that you put into one of these? I mean, it varies, I'm sure.
I mean,
minimum's got to be.
Minimum of 4,000.
What?
3,500 or like 4,000 hours all of those.
If I was like, dude, I want you to make me a Seattle Skyline one, what's that? What's the time that you're putting into it?
I could turn around the same day, probably.
A couple hours.
But I'd also charge you like $150-$200 for it.
Sure. Yeah.
So like 2 hours with framing and everything, you know.
Oh, okay, that's pretty sweet, man. And it was
I've definitely cut that time down over the years.
Yeah,
of course,
it's like a lot better.
But it was just recreational at first, just like goofing off.
Super organic, just like came to me, and I was just like, the people want to buy this from me.
Well, have you done art before? You say you play drums and you're like a musician, but were you interested in other painting and other drawing or anything like that?
Honestly, like I never really got into that very much. I did a lot of like design with just like ballpoint pen and just doing like doodles and like stuff like that, but I would never have said I was like
an artist,
like a trained painter or like some, you know.
Sean's one of those people that just like happened. He wants to figure something out, so he like teaches himself how to do it. We got some equipment like a couple months ago. It's called Inventables, and it's this CNC machine. It's this really small thing that you have to program and build, and he built the whole thing, and he set it up, and he taught himself how to use the computer program system, and now he's like, oh yeah, we can cut this design with that. And I'm like,
yeah, it was
nice.
Really fun. It was like a giant Lego set That was really intense.
Exactly.
For adults.
I find that drummers a lot of times have busy hands, and so if you can put something into them, you can get something out of it,
rather than just tapping
on stuff constantly.
Yeah. Which I still do.
Yeah, no doubt. I just saw another Kickstarter where somebody had made Bluetooth like covers that you slide over your drums, and then as you're air drumming,
I want those so
free
bad.
Drum, it'll tie into your phone, and you can be listening to headset and not actually tapping on anything, just waving around and making the noises. And I was like, I thought about all the drummers in my life where I'm like, please get this for them. But
yeah,
like,
exactly.
I want to fund this this very project. Well, that's cool. So you're able to just turn like some board activity into making a few extra bucks on the side.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, you're dealing with some stuff that's got some trademarks, I'm guessing, and maybe there might be people who would get upset with you. Have you run into any problems where someone's like, cut that out?
Not yet.
Cut that out.
That already did.
Have you had to dance around this all? Do you guys like run into like thinking about this as a business?
We are thinking about it. We have not run into any problems yet. For stuff like that, that'll be like one off, you know, that he just made.
That's just a piece of art enjoyment. Yeah.
And so like the other things that we're making, some of the stuff are band logos that are established, and then some of them are like either something that Sean's put together by looking at a few different photographs of an artist. So it's basically his version of that artist.
33% change to it or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
You know
what's up. Yeah. So that's kind of what we do in that
it's
sense.
It's really tricky because, I mean, artistic license and like loopholes with using image likenesses for different art pieces.
Yeah.
Whereas like if it was used in like a marketing or a advertising venue, that would be different limitations of what you can and can't use.
We decided that we're going to play it by ear.
Yeah.
And we're just going to roll with it. And if things come up, we'll deal with them as they come up.
That's kind of a healthy way to do it. I mean, obviously you want to make a living doing this, and you mean no harm, I'm sure, to the Misfits when you use their logo. I mean, who wouldn't want to see that Misfits logo done into that style? Like, it's like the perfect contrasting black and white stuff must work so well with that.
And the real thing that we kind of think of is like the fans are the ones that love the stuff, right? So it's the fans of the bands, not just the fans of like Skylino, because not that many people know about us yet, but they see the stuff and they're like, oh, I love the Misfits or I love the Clash. And like, I got to have that. And so our goal as we expand is to actually partner with those bands or those artists to have them have a hand in the design. So we just make the piece that they created.
I mean, at some point, like being on the wall on Hot Topic for kids to buy their favorite 21 Pilots thing or whatever wouldn't be a bad partnership to have.
Any of those things would be cool, yeah.
So, I mean, to take it from being just MC Hammer style, like we went over a minute ago, to being like a legit business that you were a legitimate business before, but to blow it up the way that you're talking about.
Yeah.
The Kickstarter is kind of the way that a lot of people get this done, or one of the GoFundMe, or
that's
any of these like crowdsourcing things. What was
the
experience like? Is it daunting? Is it difficult? How did it change from when you started to when you finished, your perception of how this would go?
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a huge process, and there's a lot of time that goes into before the campaign even starts. We were like
so
4 months
work.
Of building up audiences and doing Facebook ads and getting out to people and seeing kind of what our target market was, like who might be interested in buying this, like what the demographics.
How did you know
are.
To do that though? Like, how did you figure that out?
I told you I did like a entrepreneurial program, and I was like, these are some things that we need to figure out. And we just did a lot of research. Like, we both just got online, and we had some good people helping us too, like people that we brought on as like a partnership who know crowdfunding, and they're like, these are the things that you guys could do, and these are the things that we can do together. And so there was all this tracking and all these email lists that we built up in advance. And so
the whole thing was huge learning curve, and just an amazing learning
opportunity for learning. Yeah,
so
the thing is, like, now we could do it again and do it so much more efficiently, and
sure.
We could bang out a crowdfunding campaign, like we know exactly what to do. And I'm not saying we could like do another successful one again. Maybe we hope to. Like, the goal is, so like, it's not done until the products are in the hand of the customer, right? And the customer is the backer. And we've got 530 people who signed on to our campaign. They gave us their money, and now it's our responsibility to deliver the rewards and to give them like the best experience possible with those rewards.
How stressful is that?
It's stressful, but it's also like It's like, with great power comes great responsibility, you know?
Yeah.
It's fun, because it's like, now we can give people something that
they're excited about. Wait, are you guys Spider-Man? Is that what I just... Uncle Ben usually said that, I think. Sorry.
We take turns, week on, week off.
Yeah, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Someone's got to be working on the vinyl, I mean.
Right.
Peter Parker working on the vinyl.
Yeah. Okay, so it's got to be, like, just knowing that you're approaching deadlines, and that you have to get this done, and that people are expecting it. I'm watching, I can't remember the name, there's a video game, a space-based video game, where, like, it's been 6 years, and they raised, you know, like millions of dollars, and they haven't delivered anything yet.
That's usually a problem. And that's what I found a lot of the time.
Yeah, I see a lot of these stories where it's like, that's a great idea, I should get into that. And then, like, they can't deliver on what you're saying.
And that happens a lot. A lot of campaigns, they have these issues they didn't think about in the advance. And of course, we've got issues and stuff like that. But we're delivering a product, and we've made the product before.
And
we've sold the product before. We know where to get all the materials. We're not making up anything new. We're just combining existing techniques with old materials, right? And so all we need to do is, like, outline the basics. Like, what do we need? How many do we need? Like, what are our options? What are our categories? And then to feed that all into, like, an online shopping, like Magento or Shopify or something like that, where it just streamlines everything. So an order comes in and it goes directly to the fulfillment center, and then it goes out.
Worst case scenario, you buy a bunch of coffee and a whip, and you just put Sean to work.
Start cutting.
I was like, I wonder how long it would take you to cut them all by hand.
Cut them all by hand and just have it be done.
He would honestly do it, but I think his tendon muscles and his arms would explode,
like carpal tunnel.
The end of his drumming career, which is going to be a very promising career, because the guy's amazing on the drum. Seriously, if you haven't seen or heard of Model Snake, you guys should check him out.
There we go. Easy plug, man. I love that. That's crazy. Like, do you find that there's places that are looking to get rid of, like, garage sales that want to get rid of a ton of vinyl?
Records,
and, like, how do you get all
record stores? They literally are like, we've got a bunch of back stock or a bunch of dead stock or things we can't sell. Like, I reached out to Sub Pop last week about getting dead stock from them, and they referred me back to one of their vinyl manufacturers, because they have artists that buy 500 records, because that's a minimum press, right? And then, like, maybe your band doesn't take off, or you just suck, and it's like, you can't sell any music, right?
It does
happen. And then where does...
Should I hire Sean to play the drums?
Boom. Yeah. But then where does that vinyl go? It just sits, basically. And either on the shelves, or it sits in the record store. If they've been asked, like a guy from Sub Pop, not Sub Pop, Sonic Boom calls the other day, and he's like, I got a bunch of people that, you know, they asked me to put it on the shelves, and then I did, and that was like 2 years ago now, and I still got all these records. So he just stack of the same records, like all the same. And he was like, yeah, you can have them.
And it's really fun to get
involved. He traded for artwork. He was like, I want you to make a Sonic Boom, and we made it. It's super
The Sonic Boom one is, I just saw it on your website.
It's really cool.
Incredible. Yeah. It looks super cool with the Seattle cut in the bottom there.
We wanted to do every record store in Seattle, at least, like, be able to partner with them.
It's really fun, like, developing relationships with the record store's, like, faculty, too.
Especially locally, too, because then they're like, oh, like, they want to see, they see something hanging up, like, they see pieces hanging up around town, and then it's like, then it gets out there, and we get a little, like, social bump from that.
I mean, well, I guess then to that end, Seattle must be a pretty advantageous place to do something like this. The rock and roll,
totally,
like, record culture is so big. Have you found that there's been some advantages? Do you wish you could do it somewhere else? Is Seattle, with things like GeekWire and other businesses here that are willing to pay attention, how has that helped you?
Oh, it's hard to say that because I don't know any differently, right?
Sure.
But I honestly can't imagine doing this anywhere else so successfully.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine any place that would kind of, like,
the perfect location.
Take it and
culturally,
like, even,
and music, just the,
even people downtown, like, they want Sean to do a mural on the wall of Sky Lionel, like this huge mural of, like, what a Sky Lionel Seattle Skitty Skyline record would look like, which would be super badass.
Awesome.
Yeah. In Belltown. That might be happening this summer.
Yeah, during the summer. But, like, people have kind of picked it up as, like, a brand that Seattle can really support, because it's so focused on, like,
everything that people associate with Seattle, you know?
Seattle, like, and eco-friendly, like, environmental, like, all this stuff. So it is really cool.
Also, it's really simple. It's not, like, a complicated idea that you have to wrap your mind around.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I like records, and that's a cool piece of art. Like, combine the two, and there it is.
The interesting thing about that is that I think people are still grasping the concept, because a lot of people are like, what is it? Like, is it a painting on a record? And it's like, no, the record is, like, the art. And it's like, so they see it maybe online, and then they have to, like, check it out once again. It's like a double take kind of thing. They're like,
lots
oh,
of
you
double
use
takes.
The record. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty neat going on to, I think it's on your Kickstarter, where it actually shows you sitting there with a, it's like a tracing paper or something like that,
yeah,
with
yeah.
the actual design that you're doing, and you've cut
through that it appears. I couldn't tell for
sure. Yeah, exactly how it's done, yeah.
And so do you just design it like in a, I don't know, in like a Adobe product and then print it out and go to town, or?
I mean, how it's
that
usually
was all done
is,
by hand.
I just draw them.
So if you look, if you watch the campaign video, you'll see him holding a graphing paper in West Seattle, sitting on that ferry dock where Marination is.
Yeah.
And he just draws it looking at the buildings, and then he takes that drawing and makes the template straight from that. So if someone's like, I want the view from New York looking downtown up, like, he could get that if they send him like a photograph and
right.
blow it
and
up.
That's what's really popular too is with the hand cut pieces, those are so customizable. I can do literally whatever picture you throw my way.
So if I just hold up a picture of my dog in black and white, then you could make that onto a record?
Totally.
Absolutely.
That would be so awesome.
Like how
and that's honestly like something we've been thinking about.
Wouldn't have been the first pet that people have had done. You
having
know,
people do their dogs
the
and stuff. Like
that's awesome.
What we want to do, and this is going to require some like techno web development stuff that we don't
actually, there's lots of air quotes going on right now.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, you know, like things we don't exactly know about, but we may be able to plug in is like, you have a photograph of your dog, right? Or,
mm-hmm.
or Peanut, maybe. And
yeah, my cat Peanut. He's the best.
There you go.
He's got thumbs and everything. It's
meowing. And you've got him, and you just and you just upload that photo to our website, and then it turns it into a digital record render.
Yeah, you need like a rasterizer or something
exactly,
like that could like do that online to convert
exactly.
that.
And we do have a program that we use and now that Sean uses.
I do use Illustrator for the more complicated pictures where I can't just like look at it and imagine where the negative space is going to be, you know.
But that's pretty crazy to be able to just go and sit and like look at the skyline and be like, oh, I kind of like that. It like gives you, I'm sure, maybe I'm not, is there a benefit to being able to just go sit outside and just draw something and then turn it and take it the next step? Is
yeah, totally.
Do you find therapy in that a little bit?
I think the whole process for me is kind of therapeutic, you know, just like being able to sit down. I listen to super loud music or like podcasts or whatever and just kind of relax and
you should see his studio cool too. It's like it's people, just like this. Like you see sitting like looking out the window.
Yeah, we have
downtown.
A great view here, like out of Capitol Hill at mm-hmm. the studio looking towards the east. It's pretty neat.
So my view looks toward here from Queen Anne.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So just over the lake.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I can
so,
see you guys. We can probably see like we can put binoculars at each other.
Hi, now there's probably unfortunately there's probably cranes in the way.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
That's what I want a skyline all of just all the Seattle cranes.
Just all
everywhere.
The cranes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so now you're going to have to mass produce now. You've got this awesome website with like a ton of different skylines. It wasn't just like six cool American skylines. There's like all over the world that are on
tons
there.
Tons of international ones. And all the ones that are on there now are like ones people requested too. They're like, we want Cleveland, we want Minneapolis. And we're like, all right, cool.
So you're just like saving those and just, or you're making them and then saving them on a...
Yeah,
on
so
Illustrator files so you can mass produce.
Exactly, yeah. So exactly. Those files have to be exported as like drawing files that can be read by CAD software and like lasers or CNC or whichever.
So that's where
laser beams. Yeah,
that's where. Well, I kind of want to get to that. So now, like, you're rather than mass producing these in your studio, looking out of Queen Anne at the city, you're going to have actually a manufacturing process now.
Exactly,
the power
yeah.
of Kickstarter means that you can actually get into manufacturing. How's it going to work?
So we have all the orders. We're right now in the phase where we're
finalizing the designs.
Finalizing all the designs and then
the ones that people want. They're like, yeah, I want this. I don't want this.
And creating the survey that will allow us to know all that information, which is another super labor-intensive process.
It's a complicated process because there's other things that we now are putting in there, like
so
personalization.
Many variables.
Do you want to say Gregor on your record?
Oh, yeah.
Say like a special date or like a band name or something. So those are other things that we're going to offer to people as well. And then basically we're going to build a system on that runs you through like a design process. Say you were like, okay, I want one single frame skyline. Oh, great. Here's your record. Choose your center label, like based on a piece of artwork or an album cover of your favorite album cover. Choose your design, and then it's like, oh, I want Seattle. Oh, no, I want San Francisco, right? And then it's like, choose your frame. You want to have a small frame or a large frame? And then it's basically like those are the categories, and then there'll be a SKU that spits out for that. And it's like, this is that order with all those things. This is the shipping address. It gets made, sent out within a week, basically.
So we're also collecting all the unused, unplayable records right now, too.
Like 1,500 records. It's amazing how quick we can get that locally. We're just like, sure.
Yeah, because like I go to the Everyday Music over on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, totally.
And you know, flipping through vinyl, and I forget that there's an entire below shelf that like no one has picked through. It's got dust on it, but that's like
it's got the cobwebs.
Just tons of records under there, and I'm sure at some point they like need to move what didn't sell up top down, and then it's like, well, see you later, vinyl.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing. You know, there's a place downtown called Lifelong, I think, and it's like a Goodwill almost that supports like people with AIDS and stuff like that. And so it's like they sell records, they sell other stuff, they sell things that people have given away, and they are not able to sell some of the records, so they throw them away. Oh. And I called them the other day and I was like, if you guys have records, like ever, like I would be happy to take them off your hands. We'll come pick them up. Like we'll even pay you for them just to like bulk, you know? So if anybody has records, literally they can get a hold of us and it's like, we'll take them. Like we'll take your records off your hands. We either will pay you cash or we'll trade you for artwork, which a bunch of people are super excited about.
Sure. Yeah.
So hopefully in the future, we want to set up like a system where we can send you a prepaid label and you put them in a box and you ship them to us and we just start to warehouse them basically.
Now, you said 1500 is kind of your first Kickstarter
order. Right, yeah.
Thank you. What's kind of the goal here? What's your like first year or your first 6 months? Like how many are you hoping to crank out every year?
In December, we'd like to sell 15,000. Yeah.
So you need vinyl.
We need vinyl for sure. And then when we've used all the unused vinyl in the world, we'll just start making our own vinyl basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just getting the pucks and smashing them out.
Just
into
doing
the,
it up.
Yeah. It's that's a cool process.
Great companies. There's actually great companies that recycle their own vinyl. So they take their own discs that are either backstock or unplayed and they turn them into new discs and just print them out like that. And then now they sell all kinds of colored vinyl. They have like blue, yellow, purple, green. And
we'd that'll be a whole new game.
Isn't that cool? So we'd like to be able to offer colored vinyl to people as well. Like you pick your favorite color and then
Because I mean, I've bought a second record of something just because it's a fun color and then I never play it because I don't want to ruin it.
So exactly. Now you can hang it up on your wall.
Yeah. Oh, that's rad. So, I mean, you're obviously looking long term and thinking about this, but you're not starting small.
No.
I mean, it's... It started on vacation and now
it's
we're,
a large
you know,
jump
it's
from
a full-time thing basically. But our real goal is to partner with bands, to partner with artists, to create things that they like, that they are inspired by, and then that they can sell to their fans basically as like a limited special edition something, whether it's like memorializing a show that they did in a certain town or a certain city or a new album they're producing, like something like that where they're like, this is cool, I really like this and I want to offer this to my peeps.
Yeah, because people love putting stuff on t-shirts and whatnot, but like our options for putting like cool looking stuff on the walls
exactly are limited to posters for the most part, which are super cool and everyone loves show
love
posters,
a poster,
sure.
Yeah,
but now it's like you can hang up your city or you can hang up your favorite album cover like in a record next to your record player. It's something you kind of never seen before. I mean, that we'd never
seen. Imagine you go see your favorite artist, say you went and saw Chance the Rapper and or you follow him around on tour and you can and he you go to his merchandise table and you can see the city skyline of where you're seeing him and the picture of Chance the Rapper underneath it and the tour date. It's like
memorialize it.
Boom. Yeah, it's like you were there, and like we can make that for every tour date. I mean, we want to be working with
big
artists
yeah,
where people
artists.
Can like associate that with those.
Where
people.
Does your manufacturing happen?
So we have a shop in Indiana right now, where they have all the laser equipment, CNC stuff, and they've been distributing samples for us, basically spitting things out. Everything's going to be made in the States, though. They make the frames. We send them a vinyl from here for now until we start to figure out where we can get larger amounts of vinyl from, basically.
You know, lots of times, if you guys want to get in good with people who have got an idea,
give it to us. Pitch us.
For free. like when an artist comes to town, like say Jack White, for instance, when he was here, SDG made him like a custom Jack White baseball jacket with like the leather sleeves and all that, and it was super cool. Those types of things, to be able to just crank out something specific for their show that they can remember it by too, that's like a way to get in,
totally.
Especially with a guy like that.
We've already got the Third Man record template made.
Yeah.
We're waiting to pump it out and then to send it down there to him in Nashville and just see what he thinks about it. Like, because they press their own records and they do really cool crossovers. One of our goals for this year is to try and get in touch with Eddie Vedder and see if we can like make something special for them. Because Eddie actually reached out a few months ago and wanted Sean to make a piece because he saw it at a coffee shop in West Seattle.
In West Seattle,
it was totally
organic. You got to be a little floored by that.
Yeah, totally. It was. It was intense. I was like, am I reading this right? I was like, turned to the guy next to me at the coffee shop when I got the email. I was like, that says Eddie Vedder, right? He's like,
yeah. It's like, him, the dude. So still working on getting that to go through, but
okay, so what I'm understanding now is that you guys can go a lot bigger and take that knife out of your hand every day to have to to complete all these orders, but then at the same time be able to refocus on another chance to be creative and artistic.
Yeah.
And work with other people who are creative and artistic, which is something that's so fun. Like, think about all these artists and musicians who have a lot of their own designs. They've created their own logos. They do this kind of stuff, and they know exactly what aesthetic they would like or what cities they would like to be kind of memorialized.
Well, a lot of these people, they work with the same artist every time or whatever, and if they could just send you the file to cut.
Done. Exactly. Yeah. They're like, they might already know something that they want to see done. And then we can basically just slang a sample and be like, that's what it's going to look like. And they'll be like, awesome.
How do you think all this business, Sean, is going to affect your sitting down and cutting vinyl?
Well, eventually I would like to just be able to play drums nonstop without doing it at all.
Yeah, sure.
But, I mean, there's still the therapeuticness to, just doing the hand cut stuff, and I'll always do custom designs for people.
I think every design you see with Sean's signature on it is something that's like he's touched personally. And I think that, I know that he's always going to keep doing it. It'll just be less, like he'll have
less of them,
like now he's cutting like
cut 20 Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. He had to cut like 10 or 20 a day while we were doing like a PR tour for different agencies, different TV shows and stuff like that, who were just like, oh, let's see it out. Like, check it out. Like, and now it's like, we can plug all these production elements in and just be like, he can be like, this looks good, this doesn't look good, this needs to be changed to here, and he can point with his finger instead of pointing with a knife.
You're becoming a business mogul.
I'm trying.
Seattle superstar.
Slowly but surely.
Well, that's awesome. Guys, I wish you the best of luck. This is super cool. The website is Skylynyl, that's SKYLINYL.com, Skylynyl.com. Sean McClure and Taylor Jackson. Thanks, dudes.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man.
You've been listening to So You're in Seattle with Gregor. Follow him on Twitter at HeyGregor. Find more episodes online at SoYou'reInSeattle.com. So You're in Seattle is a Burrito Butt production.
Yeah, you're a good dog, Chowder.